Marshall versus the State Liquor Board.
Good morning. I'm Robert Stevenson, representing the appellant in this case. The first African female to win the marijuana lottery
in 2014. Excuse me, counsel. How much of your time would you like to reserve?
I'd like to reserve 1 minute.
All right. Proceed.
When the appellant applied for her retail marijuana license, she was denied the license because her husband was in prison. This stems from a couple of rules of the Board of Liquor Control and Cannabis, and they're all stated in the brief, so I'm not going to go into it. But the couple of rules require all spouses of an applicant for a license be labeled persons of interest, whereby they're disqualified by the criminality of their husband. The standard of review, we think, in this case is de novo. It stems from summary judgment, and the constitutional issues that were raised after the hearing officer in the trial court. The Superior Court in this case found that the disqualification was unconstitutional as an interference with a marriage and an interference with the right to contract. The gentleman in prison rejected in writing all interest in the license. In addition, we submitted that a community property agreement would be entered into, and in that community property agreement, the husband would turn all of his right, title, and interest, both community and separate, to the wife. That was rejected by the board also. In the Superior Court's decision that there was an interference with marriage and that this was subject to a strict scrutiny test, the problem arose as to whether it passed the test. That was the crucial and center issue in the case. I submit that it requires an important state interest and that it be substantially related to the objectives of the board, and it raises a presumption of unconstitutionality, which transfers the proof to the state, not to us, to the state, to show that these reasons given are reasonably related to the strict scrutiny test. In the trial court's reasons, the main center reason was it prevented a straw person disguising an unqualified spouse's true interest in the business, and spouses are quote, true parties and interests because a marital unit functions together. Those were the centerfold reasons the trial court found that strict scrutiny here was satisfied. The Levinson case was cited by us, and we're taking the position that the Levinson case controls this case. In the Levinson case, the lady held a horse racing license. Her husband was convicted of heroin, the selling of heroin, and he did time in jail. The court found that the disqualification of the husband in rejecting her license was unconstitutional because of the right, it interfered with the right to marry. The centerfold, again, in the Levinson case was exactly what happened in the appellate case here before you. They contended, the Resource Commission contended, that the likelihood that one spouse may aid another in circumventing the sanctions imposed by the commission was a reason. The other reason basically was to keep honesty in the racehorse industry. Our position is that there are other ways, practical ways, to take care of this whole problem of a husband being in prison. And those ways are stated in WAC 3-14-55-050, which covers the suspension and cancellation of all kinds of marijuana licenses. RCW 6950-331 covers failure to meet requirements for the sale of marijuana. And lastly, RCW 6950-342 covers all kinds of rules that the board can make in curbing something illegal in the marijuana industry. All kinds of rules. We submit that where there are many other ways to curb this kind of thing, if there is any real thing to curb. I'm not at all sure there's anything to curb in this kind of a situation where the husband's in prison. He has another 45 years to serve. And we ask this court to reverse this case and remand it with instructions to issue this license to this young lady.
All right. The rest of your time will be reserved for rebuttal. Thank you, counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Rose Weston, Assistant Attorney General, representing the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board. In this case, the board correctly denied the license application of Chronics, Rock Island Chronics, LLC, after discovering that a true party of interest in the license application had a disqualifying criminal history based on a felony murder conviction.
Well, the true party in interest is the LLC.
And yes.
So the issue is whether the spouse needs to be included in the determination as to qualification. And the Superior Court did address the challenge to that regulation as an unconstitutional infringement on the right to marry. as I understand it, you conceded below that strict scrutiny should apply.
The board conceded that
not
strict...
Not the board. This is the Superior Court.
In the Superior Court action?
Yeah. The board did not rule on the constitutional challenges. The Superior Court did. It's my understanding that the state conceded strict scrutiny applied to the argument that this was an unconstitutional infringement on the right to marry.
During oral argument, the state did discuss strict scrutiny and the application of strict scrutiny and whether it applied, but it is the state's position that there is no impermissible infringement on the right to marry here.
So are you taking the position that strict scrutiny doesn't apply? Because the court's written order says that the state concedes strict scrutiny applies.
No, Your Honor. No matter what level of scrutiny applies here, these regulations, 035 and 040, do survive strict scrutiny if that level of scrutiny is...
So why? How do these survive strict scrutiny?
The state has a vital interest in transmuting the marijuana industry into a strictly regulated and legal industry from a previously criminal activity. And the straw person issue is a very real concern to the state and certainly to the federal government as well.
Well, there's nothing in the statute or in the WAC regulations that talks about a straw person.
Well, that's true, Your Honor. I agree. But the reality is that by investigating all true parties of interest, anyone with a legal interest in the license application, the state then is able to monitor and regulate those persons. And when someone has a disqualifying criminal history...
But here you have an individual who specifically executes an affidavit basically renouncing all interest in the marital community. So why is this person then covered by this regulation?
Well, that attempt, Your Honor, to change the community property interest of Mr. Marcel into separate property could have been time limited. It certainly isn't a permanent change.
Is there anything that this applicant could have done short of divorcing her husband to be qualified to receive a license?
Your Honor, we don't know that Ms. Haynes Marcel is qualified for a license. The investigative...
Let's assume for purposes of my question that if she was a single person, she would be qualified. Short of divorcing her husband, is there anything she could do to be qualified and remain married?
Under the circumstances of this case, no, I don't think so, Your Honor.
Under any circumstances, whether he's in prison or out, just so long as she remains married to someone who has a disqualifying criminal history, there's nothing she can do to qualify for a license.
That's correct, Your Honor. Under 314-55-035, the spouses of the members of an LLC are true parties of interest and have to be investigated.
Well, I understand that's what the regulation says, and what I'm trying to explore is if it's a black-letter rule that a person married to someone with a current felony conviction cannot receive a marijuana license. It sounds like your answer is yes.
If it is a disqualifying criminal interest and the person has a legal interest, yes, that's correct.
Well, you've already suggested there was nothing they could do. Could they sign something that permanently prevented them from acquiring a legal interest, an irrevocable document, something we see in estate planning from time to time?
No, I don't believe that would change the status of the husband as a true party of interest.
Because because lawyers know how to make sure he doesn't have a legal interest.
Your Honor, I don't believe that the true party of interest provision is changed based on the separate property or community property. Moreover, the case law shows that community property interests that have been changed into separate property can very easily be changed back by estoppel, by conduct, even inadvertently. It is certainly possible. And
well, that's in situations involving disputes between spouses, particularly at the time of divorce and prenuptial agreements. But are you aware of any case where a third party relies upon a disclaimer of interest and the court later said that that disclaimer wasn't effective for any reason?
No, Your Honor, I'm not.
I mean, we have a long history of spouses disclaiming in the context of federal estate tax planning, and I'm not aware of any cases where that disclaimer was found to be ineffective for the reasons you've articulated.
I believe, Your Honor, that the change of community property into separate property is often or usually in the context of real property, which certainly isn't at issue here.
That would be a surprise to estate planners, since the federal estate tax doesn't distinguish between real and personal property. A bond is just as taxable as real property.
Well,
so to get him out of the circumstance, they get divorced, the state issues a license because she's otherwise qualified, and they remarry. It's her separate property having been acquired while they're divorced. Is it presumptive that she can no longer retain the license?
Your Honor, when a licensed entity, a person involved in a licensed entity, remarries, they would need to, the entity would submit an application for a change in governing structure, and all persons added to the license would need to be investigated.
But under the facts that I just gave you, he would not be added to the license. It's her separate property. He would have no interest in it. The only thing that's been avoided is whether or not there's marital status and, by virtue of state law, any entitlement to the property.
The board would investigate the criminal conduct and the criminal history of that new person, but and would certainly take into account the legal interests of that person. But it is our position that all true parties of interest must be investigated in order to further the state's compelling interest in separating the marijuana industry from criminal influences.
What would be the legal theory under which the new spouse with the criminal history would have a legal interest in the separate property of the spouse owned before marriage?
Well, until whatever document is submitted is tested in a court of law, we don't know the impact of that document. Here, there was a spousal renunciation of rights that could have been rescinded at any time.
If this case were to bring a declaratory judgment action, have a court declare that the termination of interest was both effective and irrevocable, would she then qualify for license?
Under the current regulatory structure, I do not think so.
What are you relying on under the current regulatory structure to say that there'd have to be a new application if the individual remarried after getting a license?
Your Honor, it's not a new application for a license. It would be what the Liquor and Cannabis Board terms an application for change in governing structure.
So where is that? An application for change in governing structure. Where do we find that? Is it a WAC? Is it
yes, I believe it is in WAC, and I believe it's 314-55020, but you might also look in 050.
Does it require a reapplication or an update upon marriage, or is it merely if the status is updated because there's a change in interest, ownership?
Anytime a licensee wants to change personnel, remove someone from their license, or add a new person or a marriage, they would need to
But if they don't want to, they don't have to? That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, yes, they would have to. Yes, it is a requirement, and it is a violation of the regulations to fail to apply for a change in governing structure when a licensee intends to arrange for one.
Even if there is no change in governing structure and they only intend to get married?
There is a change in governing structure when someone does get married because someone...
We can disagree about that.
We can disagree, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Counsel.
Pellant waives the 1 minute.
And I was going to give you two.
I'm waiving it, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Counsel. That'll conclude our proceedings on this matter.